What's going on, Bud Mashers? I'm Mr. Gamer.
And I'm Kitty Duvall.
And welcome to episode 36 of SBR Reports. They just don't understand.
Oh, Lord.
But before we get into a really kind of deep, serious topic, I do want to say I am enjoying Enter the Gungeon that has recently come out on, well, not necessarily recently come out on the Switch, but was a Steam game and is now on the Nintendo Switch, and I am of the fan club of, yes, I will definitely double buy this video game because it is now portable. So if you do have a Nintendo Switch and do not own Enter the Gungeon, please do so. It is a top-down twin-stick roguelike shooter. For those who don't know what that means, you use both analog sticks to move and to shoot. Roguelike meaning that it is randomly generated each time. Top-down, you are literally looking from the top down, killing certain items. From I can tell so far, you've got four characters that you can play as: the Piler, the Hunted, the Marine, and the Cultist. Very funny. There are so many gun-based puns. These things are just firing off the shelves.
I hate you, and also, is this a review?
No. Well, okay, not right now. I don't have nearly enough time to properly review that game on this podcast, but I'm just letting you know, Enter the Gungeon on the Nintendo Switch. Be sure to pick that up.
Shots fired.
Hey. All right. So, unfortunately,
we're going to be talking about violent video games and guns again, kids!
But, we're going to be taking this a little differently. This is me being significantly more serious than you may have known me to be in general.
Well, okay, you're always serious. This is going to be him not angry and blowing a gasket.
Yes, that is a much better way to put it, considering that I don't think, A, that this conversation is going to end, and B, that more yelling, more screaming, more ranting is going to be helpful. So, what exactly am I talking about anyway? Well, an op-ed piece that was written for the Washington Examiner by our wonderful friend, and by wonderful friend, I mean complete another person, got it, Jack Thompson. Jack Thompson.
Oh, why did that make me think? His name made me think of Portal and the Lemons.
Dave Johnson. I have to watch that when we're done here now.
Oh man, now I'm just going to be making lemon jokes.
Oh my goodness. So, the title of the article, already, you know, catching the eyes, is The Connection Between School Massacres and Violent Video Games. The first thing that I instantly noted was what you would typically hear is violent video games and school shootings. This person, Jack Thompson, calls it school massacres and violent video games. So, let's just go through it, because what I want to do, this is an op-ed piece, so this gentleman gets to state his opinion, and we, on SBR, get to state ours. I will do my best not to get angry. We are literally just going to take a look at this.
I have the spray bottle.
Spray bottle won't be necessary. So,
we'll see.
The article starts off: after the massacre at Columbine High School, former President Bill Clinton ordered the FBI to investigate and then report the multiple causes of such events. The results are found in The School Shooter, A Threat Assessment Perspective. The link to that is in the article. One of the characteristics of the school shooters, according to the FBI, is a, quote, fascination with violence-filled entertainment, end quote. Most importantly, video games. That part is not in quotes.
Not only said not in quotes, it's a little bull gunky, because after Columbine, the biggest thing people were talking about was metal music. And I know this because my mom told me all the time, because, you know, and my grandmother would tell me, Satan's gonna get me and all that stuff. And it was metal music and D&D.
Ah, yes, because...
That was a big thing back then, because Satanism was the reason Columbine happened.
Right, because somehow D&D was turning people into Satanists? Was that it?
D&D was a cult. I mean, it is a cult. I've been to a couple of game sessions.
Now, the article continues, stating, In early April 1999... I filed a federal wrongful death and production liability lawsuit in Paducah, Kentucky, on behalf of the families of the three students shot and killed by 14-year-old Michael Carneal, who had trained on the most violent video game at the time, Doom.
Pause. I want you guys to remember that Doom is you shooting demons in space.
You are, yes.
On Mars.
You are in hell.
In hell.
Yes.
Because you got to go through a portal of hell that...
Yeah, but basically, you are a big buff guy with unrealistic muscles and unrealistic guns and an unrealistic environment and unrealistic enemies. Just remember that. But that's Doom.
Just keep that in mind.
The next day, Matt Thompson, appeared on NBC's Today, and Matt Lauer asked, "What do you fear based upon what you have learned in Patekaw?" What we fear, I said, is that other boys in other American high schools who would train on the same murder simulator video game and kill more students. Now, what I want to note here is the way that he calls, the way that he refers to the video games as murder simulators, as if this is a simulation, as in this is something that can be replicated, as in this is normal. Doom, the murder simulator in question here, is normal.
Also, another note, why are we focusing on the other thing that has some scientific thing to it is that it is mostly males who are doing the school shootings, but I still don't think they would be using Doom as a training simulator. Also, that's a lot of... I don't know how that would work. Like, because I just don't know how that would work. I don't know how that would work.
Well, let's hope that Janet Thompson will shed some more light on that.
He also noted,
there are neurobiological and structural differences between teen and adult brains. Okay, obvs. Teens process violent entertainment in the midbrain rather than the forebrain.
What?
He's explaining. The midbrain is the seat of emotion-driven, dangerous, copycatting behaviors, and because it is not fully connected to the forebrain, those behaviors are not intercepted. I am reading exactly what that is on there, Ms. Duvall.
I'm shaking him because it's like, no, because the one thing I heard was copycat, and I can tell you right now, the people that copycats are teenagers all the way to mofos that are in their 30s. If you are a college-age person or just someone who's very impressionable, you're trying to copycat because it's not your freaking brains and the difference between teenagers and adults. It's people who might have a abundance of other mental things that want that attention, because the one thing that has been proven is that when you put that shooter's face and name in the spotlight, they get copied. It's not the video.
Hold on. Because what Jack Thompson like, does for is, us. Hold
that's
on.
That's a whole science. That's a whole freaking. Those are.
Hold on.
There
hold
are so
on.
Many studies.
And he's gonna give us some. He, in this article, he references three studies. A study from the American Psychological Association, a study from the American Medical Association, and a study from the American Academy of Pediatrics.
They did the same thing with the copycat things, but...
And according to Jack Thompson, all of these studies have found that violent video games shift the behavior of all teens who play them towards the aggressive end of the spectrum, with some teens who are especially at risk going quote-unquote Columbine. Now, of course, you know good old Mr. Gamer is never going to do anything half-assed. And you know, of course, I went through these studies to see exactly what they were talking about. So let's start off with the American Psychological Association and what they found out based on their resolution of violent video games. Now, the resolution, the first two lines of the whereas, I will just read in plain English. Consistent with the American Psychological Association's mission to advance the development, communication, and application of psychological knowledge to benefit society and improve people's lives, this resolution on violent video games finds, whereas scientific research has demonstrated an association between violent game use and both increases in aggressive behavior, aggressive affect, aggressive cognitions, and decreases pro-social behavior, empathy, and moral engagement. First part right there. I agree that video game use can increase aggressive behavior, because when you are engaged, in a video game, depending on what emotion the video game developers or creator of that game wanted you to feel, you may perhaps feel aggression.
Yeah, because you have the RPGs that I play that will just make me cry on cue, even if I'm not emotionally attached to these characters. And then you have, well, when I watch you and others, the guys from Rust Down Radio, go at it in a fighting game. Oh, especially when you're actually winning a round.
Yeah, and that's rare.
It's a rarity.
So the second part of that first whereas statement is decreases pro-social or for-social behavior, empathy, and moral engagement. Now, when I see that, I think to myself, okay, a violent video game, it decreases empathy. Okay, I suppose, because I'm not necessarily feeling sorry for whatever it is that I'm trying to kill. Pro-social behavior and moral engagement, that immediately goes, I will say, no, the pro-social behavior part or the decrease in pro-social behavior part goes directly out the window when you throw a cooperative element into it. Let's take a good example. Gears of War. Gears of War is a very violent video game. You literally have a chainsaw on a gun and you're slashing and you're just, you know, chainsawing enemies in half. But then you also have a cooperative mode online where you have to work together to solve whatever problem that's presented in front of you.
So, the one thing I'm really curious about these studies is when they do these studies, are they doing these in controlled environments, one? And two, are they taking into account the type of mental health that these people that are studying are in? Because I know plenty of people, gamers, mm-hmm. who are very antisocial and would rather stay home and play their video games. But I also know plenty of gamers who will literally travel to Detroit, Michigan for Battle Royale. Okay, I know gamers. There are gamers who will go out of their way to travel to South Korea to play a League of Legends tournament.
And the other thing to note within the resolution on this study is a simple line. The violent video game literature uses a variety of terms and definitions in considering aggression and aggressive outcomes, sometimes using violence and aggression interchangeably, or using aggression to represent the full range of aggressive outcomes studied, including multiple types and severity levels of associated behavior, cognitions, emotions, and neural processes. The breadth of coverage but lack of precision in terminology has contributed to some debate about the effects of violent video game use. In part, the numerous ways that violence and aggression have been considered stem from the multidisciplinary nature of the field. Epidemiologists, criminologists, physicians, and others approach the phenomena of aggression and violence from different perspectives than do psychologists, and emphasize different definitions of the phenomena accordingly. Some disciplines are only interested in violence and not other dimensions of aggression. So, what I will give this study credit for is that they do make a difference. That violence and aggression, though similar, are not the same and should not be used interchangeably. Because Yay. They really aren't. So, yes.
Because words matter, y'all. Words.
Words do matter.
Oh, I hate playing semantics, but they matter. In cases like this. In debates like this.
And
they matter.
The other thing that Jack Thompson pointed out is a very popular study that came from the World Health Organization and found Ooh. That, quote, video game addiction exists and it is a mental disorder. Wrong. You could just simply do a Google search to see exactly what they said. Nowhere in their gaming disorder definition are they calling it a video game addiction. What they do call it is a gaming disorder. And a gaming disorder, as defined by the World Health Organization, is defined in the draft 11th revision of the International Classification of Diseases as a pattern of gaming behavior, digital gaming or video gaming, characterized by an impaired control over gaming, increasing priority given to gaming over other activities to the extent that gaming takes precedence over other activities and daily and other interests and daily activities, and continuation or escalation of gaming despite the occurrence of negative consequences.
Example, you're probably not going to go suit up at school if you need to go get your gold in freaking whatever game you're playing.
You know what that honestly sounds like? Any other
incident.
It's... I see where Jack Thompson wanted to call it a video game addiction, though the World Health Organization does not define it as such. But you know, if you don't want to Google search things, you just want to twist words around, then
like,
why not?
Gaming disorder is really the phenomenon of things that happen when that couple unfortunately let their little girl die because they are too busy playing video games. A video game disorder is someone literally passing out or dying from exhaustion because they refuse to leave the gaming cafe. It's not you picking up your AR-15 and suiting up at school because you played a murder simulator called Doom.
Now, the other thing that the article pointed out was a study by the American Medical Association. I will make sure that you can go to this article and read it yourself, as I will not deprive you of this wonderful reading opportunity. But I will
We did the research for you.
But I will just go to the conclusion. And what I want to do is, unfortunately, I will be reading the full conclusion. That way everyone knows exactly what I said, and that I'm not picking and choosing what I'm talking about to rip this unfortunate human being to shreds. Now, conclusions. Video games have been a part of American culture since the late 1950s. Despite their initial marginalization, these games have rapidly evolved to become part of mainstream American culture. True. Their prominent role in the lives of American youth has led to increased public scrutiny of the effects and potential harms of video game usage. As with other forms of media, video games do have a potentially positive role, especially in the healthcare and health education sectors. However, parallel to the trend of most other media forms, the largest and most potentially most lucrative use of video games is in the form of entertainment. Who'd have thought? Unfortunately, the industry's predisposition towards age-inappropriate imaging and marketing techniques had led to concerns about untoward side effects ranging from physical symptoms such as seizures and tendinitis, which, by the way, if a video game will be giving you seizures, there's always a warning that's saying that there'll be flashing lights and you may have seizures. So there's that first point. To socially maladaptive behaviors such as increased short-term aggressiveness or overuse syndromes. Now, overuse syndromes, I can see how they can pull that from what the World Health Organization said. And short-term aggressiveness, we've already previously covered. If that is the feeling that the video game, that the maker of the video game wants to give out and you feel that, then that's what they're doing their job. Just like the Titanic scene, like, hold me, like, all, like you are supposed to feel a certain emotion at that time.
Oh, so you mean good writing?
Well, yes, but see, we can't call it that. Unfortunately, we can't call it that because then they won't understand. Continuing on, although there are some indications of a connection between the content of video games and aggressive and addictive behaviors, more research is needed in this area. Federal and state governments have attempted to regulate access to age-inappropriate content. Legislation has the potential to be a powerful tool in this arena. However, the history of legislative attempts to control depiction of violence in video games has been largely unsuccessful, with much of the proposed legislation stalled or failing entirely, secondary to potential infringements on the First Amendment rights as well as aggressive lobbying from the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, although a rating system has been developed by the ESRB, concern continues about how effective this system is in alerting parents about the violent nature of the video games marketed to children and adolescents. What is the ESRB supposed to do?
Mom and dad should probably be paying attention when little Jimmy Jane and little Billy Bob are slipping Grand Theft Auto 5 between Barney's Magic Hat and Puss in Boots 3000.
Right. Okay. Now, unfortunately, we're still going through this.
Oh, God.
Yes. I mean, he did write a decent piece, so I have to, you know, give it a decent shot for the trash it is. What can we do?
professional.
Of course. What can we do to help keep murder simulation video games out of the hands of teens, especially now that President Trump has correctly identified the causal link between video games and mass killings that all but the video game industry and its flacks know is there?
Oh my Jesus Christ and merciful heaven, please
because our president is...
Don't go there. Don't go there. We're not going there today.
We're not going to go.
But you
know exactly what I'm thinking?
I know what you're thinking.
But they don't know what I'm thinking. They don't. So I have to tell them. Who exactly gave President Trump the authority to think that he can find the causal link between video games and mass killings?
Okay.
When he obviously isn't even completely qualified to stay out of a sex scandal. But he's the go-to person find the link between mass shootings and video games. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that honestly what I'm hearing?
I mean, see, yes, that's what you're hearing.
Okay,
one, he's the president, so presidents are supposed to parrot whatever the hell they're supposed to parrot.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately. And whoever's lining his pockets are lining his pockets cutely right about now. But I just... But see, the thing is, you're calling these murder simulators, but you use Doom. Again, I'm just going to keep mentioning this. You use Doom. Not Call of Duty. Not Grand Theft Auto. Not...
Not Battlefield. Not Medal of Honor.
Not a Spell's game of Batman.
Like, come on.
You use Doom. Probably one of the most unrealistic... violent video games out there.
Now, see, here's the thing. I love how later Jack Thompson wants to constantly blaming the video game industry as if there's a circle of video game industry dictators who are saying, yes, we have to keep selling this particular item.
You just got Nintendo sitting in a shady corner because they one of the OGs. You got Sony in the other corner. You got Xbox, who's technically one of the newer people. What was that gaming system that failed that was supposed to be on the Android-like thing? OG, you got the VR people. Oh. You got mobile gaming. They're sitting there.
And they're all conspiring against the general public, the people who give them their money to sell violent video games because they don't care whether or not people shoot them. Mr. Jack Thompson, I know you probably don't listen to this, but I have to ask you a question.
Stop sucking on those lemons.
And... you realize that the video game industry that you're saying is responsible for the selling of these video games aren't actually responsible for the selling of the video games.
Oh, yeah, that's the part I wanted to get at because that upset me so much.
Like, they don't.
What was the part where he said that they do a whole string?
Let's see. The Federal Trade Commission, with its post-Columbine quote-unquote secret shopper stings...
There we go.
...has proven that millions of units of mature video games continue to be sold to kids under 17 with no parents in sight. What is even worse is that the video game industry and its online retailers do not check or verify the ages of any video game buyers. Why is that the responsibility of the video game industry?
Okay, so, one... I have been carded many, many times when going into a GameStop to purchase a video game. And two, that's just lazy employees not wanting to bother carding the 50th teenager trying to buy Call of Duty. Is Call of Duty even rated M?
Call of Duty?
No, I don't know. It's not, is it?
You know, that's actually a wonderful
because
question.
That's the other thing that's killing me. It's like a lot, they're talking about all these violent video games. But,
yes,
rated M?
Call of Duty, the Call of Duty that I own, at least, Black Ops 2, is rated M for mature.
Okay, so, but that was just another thing that hit me. Like, some of these games aren't rated M.
Now, but here's the thing, though. From my understanding and his lack of understanding, it's the fact that violent video games, these murder simulators, are getting in the hands of children... that are not age appropriate to play. Okay, fine. First of all, not the responsibility of the person who made the video game, especially because there is a clear label right there saying you must be this old to play. Period.
Mom and dad has to pay attention. And see, that's the thing that always killed me, because I've actually seen a mom come back in screaming at the retailer for selling her boy a game that she bought for him. And the guy was like, I asked you if you wanted this game, really wanted to buy this game. This is what this game details. And you weren't paying attention and was like, yeah, whatever. And I'm just like, parents, if anything, that's on the parents. Also, it's just like when we have people who want to illegally drink. It's gonna happen.
Well, yeah, but on that note, are we gonna go after the alcohol industry, because they are?
I mean, we already did that.
Yeah, that didn't turn out so well. That didn't turn out so well.
That lasted like what, a year or two.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I do want to do is, now that I've kind of gone to the big meat of this pathetically written article, and what I want to do is I'm going to try to make it a little bit more relatable to everyone. So, for example, you have a huge slice of cheese. This slice of cheese is shared by 10 rats. 10 rats eat this cheese. You have 8 rats who eat their fill and then they just go about running in the maze. But you have 2 rats that, after eating the cheese, they don't act or behave as normal as they did first before they ate the cheese, and secondly, after. They're acting differently. Dare I say, they're acting aggressive. Now, you still have 8 other rats who ate the cheese, and they seem to be fine. They're not scurrying differently, they're not biting each other, but the 2 rats who ate the cheese and started acting funny, they are. Now, as a scientist, what would you do? Unfortunately, we don't have any scientists in the building, so I'm just gonna...
Hey, but I passed my science class, and I can tell you what I would do.
So what would you do?
Okay, so first I would see if there's actually anything wrong with the cheese. And then I would check the mentality and anything else that's going on with the rats. And see why they're acting aggressive. Is the cheese just so good that these 2 particular rats decided they were going to throw a coop and beat up the other rats so they can eat the cheese?
Now, if we were to take the argument that Jack Thompson is pathetically making in this poor attempt at an op-ed piece to the example that I just made, the idea would be that we need to have better policies on that cheese because look how these 2 rats acted. Now, the reason I make this point, Button Mashers, is the fact that I play violent video games. I have many other friends who play violent video games. I have many close friends who play a lot of violent video games, and they're not shooting up places. So, I can only assume that either they aren't taking in whatever it is that the video games are giving them, which isn't the case, or that perhaps the focus doesn't need to be on the video games because we have a large majority of the population.
And to make you sound even more credible, it's not even just you and your friends. The majority of people, because this is an American issue right now.
Yeah.
The majority of people in America that play violent video games aren't violent. It's the same concept as, like, if anything, violent video games, just like violent movies and violent music and violent anything else, kind of normalizes it. But, again, demons aren't coming out the earth where we gotta grab our chainsaw guns and kill people, things. But the thing is that if video games were this violent, it was this,
Well, I wouldn't even say this violent. If
video games were doing this, that's what I was trying to say. If video games were this mind-controlling, I really feel like we would have a lot more school shootings. We would have all...
I wouldn't be here.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be in jail.
Yeah, I straight up would not be in here. And just on a final note to end it, I believe it is extremely lazy and also insulting to think that you can train someone to murder and kill in a video game.
And Doom.
Hold on. I'm not even going to say Doom. In a video game, when you have our military who train people for months, sometimes years, to do the things that they're doing. And
they
you
don't
think,
like doing it.
And you think that somehow video games can teach you how to do that in 3 hours. You're kidding, right? Like, come on. Now, I mean...
And again, they're ignoring... Because, like, you know, I'm not going to ignore the at-risk ones that can go Columbine or whatever.
Yeah, that's actually really not even a nice way to put it. But
the thing is that you are ignoring so many other things. This guy is ignoring so many other things that go into violent video games, that go into the reason why these shootings happen. It can be because of bullying. It can be because the person sits off their kilter that day. It could be that this person's a sociopath and just wanted to do it. That is literally what, like the girl who shot up, I can't remember her name, but this was back in the day. She shot up her school on a Monday. And she just said she hates Mondays. And that's why she did it. It had nothing to do with video games.
So you sure there wasn't like some sort of Monday murder simulator thing?
Man, them Monday murders.
Right. But seriously, I know this, for those listening for as long as you have, thank you. I had to try to add something different to the conversation because it didn't seem as it's going to be going anywhere. If you're listening, please, I'm asking you, please, on any social media or ever you want to, tell me why you play video games, because a lot of people seem to think that we're playing video games, especially violent ones, because we want to murder people. I really don't think that's the case. And I think that perhaps they need to know. And with that being said, this is Mr. Gamer.
And this is Kitty Duvall.
Signing off.